I walk into a room hoping that someone is shocked that I'm expressing myself in a loud way, because Asian women specifically have been known to be quiet in the past. Not even that they were quiet, but because society didn't want to hear their f***ing opinion.
Picky, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
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 No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hey fam! Welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I'm your host, Nikki Levy, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Don't Tell My Mother is where your favorite humans from movies, TV, sports, comedy tell a true story they never want their moms to know, but they have no trouble telling you. Guys, today's episode is awesome. We have the comedian and actor, Sherry Kolla. Sherry plays Alice in the hit Freeform show, Good Trouble. It is soapy and angsty and queer, and oh my God, I love it. And she's breaking into voice acting in the Paramount animation film, The Tiger's Apprentice, opposite Henry Golding. I'm totally hot for him. Sandra Oh, hotter for her. And the legendary Michelle Yeoh. Sherry has been an amazing stand for Asian American representation on TV, and specifically queer Asian American representation. And as a fellow queer, I give her major props. Sherry is telling a story about why you should never hire her to house sit. Noted. Here is me and Miss Sherry Kolla.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Nikki, let's do a countdown. 5.
I love that Sherry's directing this.
4.
4.
3. I'm just a total power top.
She's a top, like a motherfucker.
2. 1. All right, this is making it into the show for sure.
Hello, Sherry. We're here. It's official. I'm so happy to be with you. So you and I met through another queer fellow comedian named Percy Rastamji.
Percy. We're obsessed with Percy.
Given COVID and, you know, not being able to perform, do you miss live comedy?
Nikki, I just did my very first in-person show last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? I don't know. Everything's a blur. But yeah, it was such a thrill. But the thing is, I was kind of anxious. I was like, oh my goodness, am I rusty? You know what I mean? All these feelings. And I was like, you know what? I just need to freaking do it because I miss it, number one. And number two, it's like, let's just get back in the swing of things.
No, totally. I'm proud of you. It's scary to do something that we haven't done in a really long time. By the way, Sherry Kolla, that cannot be your real name. And I've never asked you this. What is your real name?
Well, here's the thing. No one actually knows my real name, so I'm not going to expose it. Okay. My real name on the internet is Sherinya Kolada. If you were to Google Sherry Kolla real name, it says Sherinya Kolada. And that's because I tweeted it as a joke a couple years ago. But my middle name is Michelle. I will say my middle name is Michelle.
That's real?
That is real. That is on my social security card only because I chose it in seventh grade. In seventh grade, when my parents became citizens, because my name wasn't legally Sherry Michelle.
Yes.
You know, mysterious last name. So when my parents became a citizen in seventh grade, I automatically could, like, you know, change my name to my American name that I've been going by, Sherry. And I was obsessed with Michelle Branch. Obsessed. Still am to this day. Spirit Room is my Bible.
Oh my God, that is so millennial queer. I don't even know what to say. Well, I like Sherry, and I like Michelle. So you are on a very cool, very queer TV show called Good Trouble on Freeform. It's a spinoff of The Fosters. And you play Alice Kwan, a gay stand-up comic. Tell me how you got this role.
First of all, I read this description of this character, and it already just, I mean, blew my mind that this was written and someone wanted to see this on the screen. This was 2018, and representation in the Asian community was still just, I mean, it was dry out here in these streets, you know, and currently there's still so much more work to be done. But in 2018, there was even less, you know. But the point is this character, right? It said lesbian, first generation, not out to her parents. And, you know, at the time, I wasn't out as bisexual to my own mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this just landing this role really inspired me to spread my wings in that way as well. You know, spread my own wings, you know, to be liberated in my own life.
It's so cool. You know, I love that playing this character encouraged you to come out for real in your own life. How did your mom take it?
Well, it was before, you know, Alice even came out on the screen. It was right when I booked Good Trouble. I just decided, you know, I should have this conversation with my mom just so I can, you know, eventually when I'm talking on panels, you know what I mean? Be a little more open and kind of have that weight lifted off my shoulders. And of course, like I sat my mom down and it was like a 45 minute just tear fest on my end, really. And she was just processing. And that's the thing is my mom, like, first of all, my mom was surprised, right? And that just shows that, like, she grew up in Shanghai, and not that she's that traditional. I don't think my parents, I don't think my parents were that traditional growing up, but, like, she didn't grow up, number one, seeing that much, you know, queer representation on the screen.
Right, and we didn't, and we're younger than her, right? Like, we're probably 30 years younger than her or whatever, so.
And, you know, so to her, like, that's not even, like, a possible route, like, cause it just, it's not even like in the cards, right? Like that your kid might not be hetero, you know? It's just like, to her, she just expected a simple life, you know? Like she, you know, thinks, you know, let's just live our lives and you know, get married and have a kid, start a family and repeat cycle, you know? So it just, it blew her mind. A little bit.
Yes.
She was processing it. And, you know, it just, listen, it's still a conversation.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Totally. Did your mom ever give you the birds and the bees talk?
Did you ever get that? Oh, I never officially got that.
I wondered if you did get that.
My mom, when I went to college, she said, don't have a baby. Verbatim.
That's verbatim. What
she said? Verbatim. Oh, also when I first started using tampons, she said, like, that's for married people. And this was like freshman year of high school, you know?
Did you grow up in a house where your mom, like, encouraged you to be open and honest, or were things not talked about?
Things weren't really talked about. I mean, I don't know. It's like my mom's focus was hard work and just, you know, providing for me and survival. With an Asian immigrant mother, survival is the number one switch in their body that's, you know, on. And it's the other stuff. It's like everything's a plus, you know, even with what I'm doing now, the fact that I call my mom every day, like that is a plus, you know, like that, like she doesn't expect anything from me. But the fact that I am now on TV. So these little moments, these little things, I think are really bonuses. And I've never actually said that out loud in this way, but kind of, yeah. It's like as an immigrant, you don't expect much, right? We're hoping to have the American dream in the most comfortable way, right? The bare minimum, really, not that we ever do the bare minimum. We exceed, we overachieve in whatever we do, because that's how I was raised. That's how my mom taught me. To always give 110%. But at the same time, it's like, we know it's fucked up, but it's like society tells us our worth, right? At a very young, you know, back then.
I wonder if it's doing 110% so that you can achieve the bare minimum, almost like I have to do even more just to get that.
I think so. Absolutely. And that is just, you know, the story for immigrants, for, you know, marginalized folks, for, you know, it's at the end of the day, like society doesn't root for these groups of people.
Is part of the immigrant experience, do you think, for your mom, who sounds like a very loving mom who wants to understand, just like, let's not make waves. Like, let's just do a really good job and not like draw undue attention to ourselves.
Oh, for sure. Which is why this year was such, you know, a shifting year, because, you know, everything going on in the world, from the protests, you know, Black Lives Matter, etc., voting, voting. You know, I was having conversations with my mom that I'd never had in my 30 years. And I regret not having these conversations sooner. If anything, I knew that my mom had that don't rock the boat mentality. I knew that she had the sweep it under the rug mentality. Like, let's be nice. Let's. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, my mom has done stuff in a way where she kind of diminished herself just to avoid trouble. You know?
Yeah, which is so funny, right? The name of your show is Good Trouble.
Right.
Trouble can be good. Trouble can be okay.
That's the thing. And it's like, damn, I wish I was having these conversations sooner. But at the same time, I also was slowly finding my voice as well. You know, I wasn't always this outspoken and, like, you know, the emotional power top energy. This was not, you know, I wasn't born with this. You know, I also... I don't know when it shifted. Maybe it was watching Margaret Cho do stand up, but I always brilliant. Kind of lived to break the stereotypes, you know. I walk into a room hoping that someone is shocked that, you know, I'm expressing myself in a loud way, because, you know, it's I want to break those barriers so badly, because Asian women specifically have been known to be, you know, quiet in the past. Maybe not even that they were quiet, but because society didn't want to hear their fucking opinion. Now it's like, okay, I'm now involving my mom in the activism, you know, truly is the word. And it feels really good to just be like, to just keep it more real with my mom nowadays.
Yes. You're going to tell a story. You've always been kind of outspoken. You have a bit of an edgy streak to you.
I say the darnest things.
And you are going to tell a story about a time when you were young and wild, Sherry. Maybe let's say that. Does your mom know this story?
Well, no. I mean, if she does, it hasn't been spoken out loud.
Okay. Sherry, tell me everything.
This is a story about when I used to party at my dad's house when he was out of town on the low.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My dad had a house in Hacienda Heights, and my parents are divorced, and he would go to China all the time, and he would give me his key to check his mail. That was my task. Here's the key to this empty house with a beautiful backyard and a view, and just get the mail for me, please, right? So back in, like, my early 20s, I was such a party animal. Mm. You know, I had really cool friends. I had... That was the most annoying sentence to say out loud. I had really cool friends. But the point is, my friends were cooler than me is what I'm getting at. And because even in high school, I hardly drank, you know? And then, you know, I was always the DD, even, you know, a little in college. And then I kind of went downhill. And I was just so into, you know, drinking. And
what was your drink of choice at this age?
Well, of course, Adios motherfuckers were that bitch back then. That blue drink, it was basically like three different alcohols in one cup. And because when you're young and stupid and wild and free, all you want to do is get fucked up. You don't care about the quality of the mezcal. You know what I mean? You don't give a fuck about the Himalayan salts on the rim. You just want to get fucked up. So one day, you know, I just decided... Well, it was also a brainstorm session with me and my friends who love to party. They're like, why don't you just, like, drink at your dad's? Like, why don't we just go to your dad's, you know? Mm-hmm. And slowly I would just have these parties at my dad's house twice a week, even, you know, obviously, because, you know, I was still in college. And, you know, we had things to do on the weekdays, but at least like twice a week, we would go to my dad's, and the amount of people just increased and increased because I had my college friends. I had, you know, my high school friends. I had, you know, friends of friends. I would have birthday parties for my friends at my dad's house. I hosted a beer pong tournament. Like, this was just the house, you know? And of course, you know, I mean, shit got fucked up. The fence broke at one point, had to fix it. The carpet got so dirty. Honestly, I feel like a piece of shit. I really do feel like a piece of shit because this was just not cool. But once again, you're 20. You want it to be cool and you wanted to party.
Yeah.
That was just the mission statement of 2009. Yes. Wanted to be cool, wanted to party.
Wanted to party.
So my mom, my parents have a restaurant, and you know, my mom would like ask me to come help and work for the day. But really, it's because I was 20 and so fucking, you know, selfish that I hardly spent time with my family. And of course, I'm making up for it now. But my mom would essentially just want me to work at the restaurant on a Saturday to spend quality time. You know what I mean? And then she'll be like, I'll pay you so and so. And that was an opportunity for me because at the end of, you know, my shift, I would just take that money and I'd go buy alcohol. Well, my 21-year-old friends would buy us alcohol, of course. And we'd go to my dad's and we'd rage. And
Did your mom know that? So your mom wanted to spend quality time with you. Did you want to spend quality time with her, or were you just looking for beer money?
You know, we had tunnel vision at the age of 20, right?
Yes, we do.
True or false, Nikki? True or false?
Look, we're like, it's still a teenage time almost. So like, we're not thinking of like the bigger picture or being kind people. We're just thinking, we're a little hedonists.
Oh, you know, I think my mom was onto me. I think because here's the thing, my parents were divorced and my dad and I almost had this emotional hiatus post-divorce because they got divorced when I was in ninth grade. So what was that, 13, 14? So this is cut to 20, right? Yeah. And we had this like emotional hiatus in my later teen years. So my point is, I don't think my dad was even comfortable to confront me. If he even knew, right? Because clearly the house was not in the same shape. The grass was fucked up. You know, it just like from all of the beer bongs, you know, it's a lot. So I think even if he realized it, I don't think he would have confronted me because it's like this weird time where maybe he wanted to not upset me or I don't know. The point is he might have mentioned something to my mom because even though they're divorced, even though they're divorced, they have this relationship because they both own the restaurant together. So they're still, you know, they have that. So they still talk. Obviously, they've known each other since they were teenagers. So they have this, they have a rapport to an extent, right? So I think maybe he mentioned something to her because she one time said, and this is my mom, just like in her don't have a baby fashion, she says, okay, and don't invite people to your dad's house, like randomly out of nowhere. So I think they knew and they just did it, you know, like they just didn't actually confront me about it. But I will say, so basically there was this one moment, right, where it was like a day party, you know, the Saturday afternoon, I'm living my life. I'm having a day party. There's at least like 20 people in the backyard. And I go from the backyard to the front door to get my shoes. And I open the door and my aunt is standing right there, my dad's sister.
And
I'm like, whoa, hi. Like the timing could not have been more. I mean, I can't even believe the timing. And we're drinking. There's alcohol everywhere. And there's like the fridge is stocked. Like it is just I'm not even 21. So it's incriminating stuff, right? So I'm like, oh, auntie, like, what are you doing here? First of all, she's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, just, you know, checking out the house, you know, getting the mail, whatever I said. And I was like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, I'm going to China like tomorrow. I'm just picking up some things for your dad. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like escorting her around the house. I'm like wrangling her. I'm like hovering, right? Just making sure she doesn't fucking see something. And now the people in the backyard, my friends, are aware of the fact, like, to be quiet and hide, right?
Yes, yes.
She doesn't look in the backyard. She's grabbing the things, and she goes to the fridge. And I'm freaking out. I'm about to freaking, you know, everything's about to drop out of my butt. Because there is so much alcohol in the fridge. And once again, I'm not 21. And I'm an innocent, baby, fragile, you know, Chinese lady. And in my family's eyes.
Yeah.
And she literally goes to grab the refrigerator handle. And I'm sweating. Like, this is like, this is it. Like, she's going to see all this alcohol. She's going to snitch. And I'm going to be in so much trouble. And she holds the refrigerator handle and then thinks for a second and then lets go.
Why?
And she, I don't know. Isn't that so interesting? Like, she literally was about to open it and decided, oh, I don't need to. And also her daughter, my cousin, was also involved in the partying. So listen.
No. Was I'll she drag- there at the time?
No, no, no. I'll drag her down okay. with me, you know? Yeah, it was lit. It was popping. I think the cops might have come once, but I don't remember what happened. I think we got someone who was 21 to go talk to them or something. I'm surprised the neighbors never called. And here's the thing. So I'm such a procrastinator. I would throw a whole summer of parties and not actually throw out the trash. So, like, I would leave the house. On a Sunday, I'd leave. And the whole week, these half-empty beer bottles would just be sitting there. So the next week I come back, or even more than a week, like if I didn't end up going there, like I would come back and start cleaning. And I mean, there would be like mold in the beer bottles, like steaming mold.
Oh.
I know, it's not cute. This is not the best chapter of my life, Nikki. This is not who I am,
I mean,
truly.
But it's so coming of age. I mean, you had a free house
right.
to yourself at 20
right.
years old. What did your father expect you to do? Just get the mail?
I think they thought I was a baby innocent angel. And here I am, you know, to the point where, like, if my dad was coming back on Tuesday, on like Monday night,
yeah.
I rented a U-Haul to transfer all these trash bags to like the local, like Vaughn's parking lot to put it in the dumpster. Like, it was just not cute. It was not cute.
Were there hookups at this party? Speaking of sex?
Yes.
Did you ever hook up? Do not lie to me. I'm looking at how cute you are. Stop it.
Honey. Gravity was not our enemy at that point in time. Let's just put it that way. I was even cuter, believe it or not.
Well, what do you think your mom would say if you said, hey, mom, when I worked at your restaurant, to quote unquote spend time with you, it was to get money to throw Raiders at your ex-husband's house?
That's a log line. If I was doing nothing with my life right now, she'd be pretty pissed.
Yep.
But, you know, she and I were just in a Christmas Kohl's commercial together. Like, I can do no wrong at this point.
Wait,
you know?
Are you serious?
Yes. You haven't seen it?
No. And you are not bringing your mother on this call?
Here's the thing. Also, she's a working woman, honey. This is peak business hours right
Jesus
now, the restaurant.
Christ. What are you talking about? Nobody's eating at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, I know you don't want to tell your own mom about the Raiders at your dad's house, but I'm thinking maybe you can tell my mother, who's not, you know, a Chinese woman who owns a restaurant, but she is a crazy Jewish lady from the Bronx.
Sure.
And I think she might want to give you her 2 cents, because she gives her 2 cents on everything. So this is in that wheelhouse.
I'll take the 2 cents. Let's go.
Hello, hold on.
Hi, Mom.
Hi,
Mom, we can't
see.
Oh,
I know why.
Oh, you have to see my mother.
Hi, Mom. Wait, what was the reason? It was flipped to the other side?
No, what happened was I forgot to put up the webcam. The camera, basically.
My mom.
Oh, my
does.
Goodness.
My mom's a webcam girl.
Oh, I know. I subscribe to her OnlyFans. Don't you worry.
So, Mom, Sherry told a story today, okay? And she's not going to tell her mom, because her mom might not react great. We're not at that point yet, okay?
Well, it's just, why? You know, let's leave it in the past, you know, type of vibe. So
I heard, we're going to tell you. I heard all about your Chinese Beyonce mom.
Oh, wow. You've been doing the research, honey.
Always, always. I don't want to appear like an idiot, so I got to know something.
So the log line for the sake of selling this sitcom to NBC Thursday nights at 8, is in exchange for quality time, my mom paid me to work at our restaurant every Saturday just for me to then secretly take that money to buy alcohol and throw huge parties, 50 plus capacity, at my dad's house while he was out of town.
Oh my God.
Mom, are you impressed?
I am very impressed. Your mother, as you said, is the bomb.
She didn't know though, Ma. She didn't know.
She didn't know. Oh, she didn't know. I thought she knew.
She didn't know. Have you seen the show Euphoria?
No.
That is a snooze fest compared to these parties.
Mom, is that impressive to you that Sherry would, like, at 20 years old?
Yes, it's like risky business.
Listen, I'm an entrepreneur, okay?
Mom, did you ever party like this at 20 years old in the Bronx?
I've still never partied like this. I'm still waiting.
Okay, here's my question. Wait. Go ahead.
If you ever plan another party like this, please invite me.
Oh, I got you. Here's my question.
My mom's good.
Here's my question, Mama Judy. Have you ever hit a beer bong?
You know, I can give all this advice, but I haven't experienced any of this.
So, you know that tunnel, that funnel. You know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, a keg.
No, not a
Have you done a keg stand?
Yeah.
A keg stand?
Yeah. You have not done a keg stand.
I've done a keg stand, though. Oh.
A keg stand? My mom's a really good baker.
Here's my question for the room. When's the first time you drank? What was your first experience drinking alcohol?
I think the first time was when I had my first or second date with Nikki's dad.
What?
And what age was this?
19,
20. The first time you drank?
Yeah, I never drank before, Nikki. I don't know what to tell.
Oh, see, just...
Do you remember what drink it was?
Let's see. Could have been a Singapore Sling. It could have been a
What'd you call me?
Singapore Sling. You're not from Singapore, so stop it.
I'm not. I'm a Shanghai Sling.
Exactly.
Slut. No.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what that drink is. I got to look it up.
I don't know either, but I knew the name. I didn't know what was in it.
Honey, it got you a husband. That's for sure.
Got you a husband. Husband.
I don't want to. Yeah,
you know what?
Husband,
no, not husband. Come to think of it, I shouldn't have ordered that.
Hey! Don't tell your father. Don't tell your father.
Sherry, how are you turning into your mother?
There's something that my mom does that I notice that she does, just with her hands. Like sometimes she's very fidgety. Like we're very like anxious almost. Like I'll notice, like, you know, she'll do this thing. So this is something I do with my hands all the time. I'll just do that. Like it'll be by my side. It'll be by my side, and just I'll touch my index finger to my thumb, and I'll just like it'll just be going as I'm like processing the anxiousness or something. I didn't mean to unpack this deep, Mom, but here I am. What about you?
How am I turning into my mom? Oh, I tell you how I'm turning into my mom. I tweeze my face hair at every red light. I keep a tweezer in my car.
You know how on your body there's some spots with the one hair that comes out like it's a groundhog
day?
Groundhog day. Or do we have nipple hairs?
I always have nipple hairs. Yes. Let me see.
Why? I might have one. I think I might have
Sherry,
one.
Put your nipple back.
I think my that's going to be the title of this episode. Put your nipple back.
Put your nipple back.
I have, oh shoot, my bra's out. I got a little lace number going on for y'all.
That's good.
Sherry is a sexy woman.
I'm a vixen. Yeah.
I love to close every show, Sherry, by having our guests tell us what they love about their mom. What is something you love?
Oh my goodness.
This mystery restaurateur woman.
I'm so proud of her, you know, just being self-made and just working hard, an immigrant and just building nothing from scratch. And I'm sorry, nothing from scratch, building everything from scratch. English is my second language, Mama Judy. I'm still learning.
It is.
But the point is, she's just an angel. Truly, 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 truly.
Carrie, I'm so happy you're here. Mama, you know I love you being here. I will 100% do a beer pong the next time you're in LA, okay? We will do it. And we'll bring Sherry to the backyard.
Definitely.
We'll get a big one with three spouts.
Post-vaccines.
Right, post-vaccines.
I love you guys. I want you to take me out. If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, my friends. We hope you loved what you heard. I love Sherry. She's just the best. Follow Don't Tell My Mother on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother. We have lots of fun stuff on there. We have amazing guests coming up. We love you. Remember what they say. Our moms know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them. Mwah! My mishpucha. Mwah!
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Edited and engineered by John Ross. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Just don't tell my mother.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.